Characteristics of an overcomer. You may be seated. Characteristics are traits, evidence, if you will, of an overcomer. Characteristics of an overcomer. Dear Lord, I pray that indeed the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. Give your people, dear God, ears to hear, and not only ears to hear, but a heart to receive. We know the word is good, dear God. The seed is good. It falls on different soils, different hearts, dear God. I pray that each heart would be receptive, that your word would be implanted in all of our hearts and minds, that we might leave here all the more corrected, redirected, and encouraged by your preached word. Thank you again for your word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Work on all of us now, dear God, for your glory's sake. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Characteristics are traits or evidences of an overcomer. I really like superhero movies. You know, like the Avengers. Them boys are bad. I mean, the Avengers. You got the Hulk. You got Thor. You got Captain America. Thank you. They tough. The Avengers. I like the Incredibles. I'm glad they finally made an Incredible Part 2. I like the Incredibles. Superheroes. Batman and Robin or Superman. I mean, I like superhero movies. And check this out, Christians. As a follower of Jesus Christ, in a sense, we are quote unquote superheroes. Matter of fact, our name is, we might have to make a t-shirt with this on it. We are the overcomers. If you follow in Christ, if you're born of God, you are an overcomer. You might want to say, I am an overcomer. You might want to look to your neighbor and say, you are an overcomer. We are the overcomers. Now to be an overcomer, though, you got to make sure you got to be on the right road. You can't be on the road leading to death and destruction. You can't be on the road leading to hell and say you are an overcomer. You got to be on the highway to heaven. You got to be on the right road. You got to be born of God. You got to be heading toward Jesus Christ. You got to be born of God. The text said it. You got to be born again to be an overcomer. As a Christian, again, by definition, we are overcomers. But all of us as followers of Christ, all of us are still overcoming something. If you're here this morning, if you're breathing this morning, if you are alive this morning, I think you are, you're overcoming or striving to overcome something. Somebody this morning might need to overcome a downcast spirit. Somebody this morning might need to overcome a stagnant Christian life. You know, you're just in a spiritual slump. You know, you're just kind of like in neutral. The spiritual blahs. In other words, you need to overcome it. In other words, you need to be revived. Lord, revive us again. Breathe on us again. Somebody this morning, you might need to overcome drugs or alcohol. Somebody this morning might need to overcome the nicotine addiction. Somebody this morning might need to overcome some type of sexual sin, some type of sexual addiction. Somebody this morning might need to overcome greed or jealousy. I'm just talking about as an overcomer, as a Christian, we still have some stuff we need to overcome. Somebody this morning might need to overcome pride. Somebody this morning might need to overcome some of the sins of the tongue, you know, like slander or gossip or cussing or lying. Somebody this morning might need to overcome excessive doubt and worry. Somebody this morning might need to overcome fear. I'm just trying to say, even as a Christian, even as a follower of Christ, even as an overcomer, you still got some stuff. You and I still have some stuff we need to overcome. We still are in the process of overcoming. That's kind of what the theologians call progressive sanctification. We will, as a Christian, we become more and more like Christ each and every day. So this morning, we're going to look at some traits of an overcomer. You want to make sure, that you're in this group called overcoming. The one who overcomes, once again, the one who overcomes the world is the one who has been born of God. The one who is born again. Verse 1 is right there in your text. Says that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. That's another way of saying been born again. Now watch. I'll define belief in just a moment. But the Apostle John, and more importantly, God, wants to make sure that you resolve this born again question. He mentioned it in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Preached that a few weeks ago. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves, whoever has this agape type of love, whoever has this sacrificial type of love, whoever loves like this, has been born of God. They are born again and knows God. 1 John 5:4, I just read it, says, for everyone, somebody say everyone. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And can I also say overcomes the flesh and overcomes the devil? If you've been born of God, if you're born again, you're going to overcome the world. You're going to overcome the flesh and the devil. It's the born again question. We talked about it a little bit on Wednesday night when young Andrew, Brother Andrew Crowder, read a verse that talked about born again. And I said this little saying that's pretty, kind of catchy. So really, if we're just born once, like physically born once, all of us are born once, right? You're going to die twice. You're going to die a natural physical death, and you're going to also experience a permanent death, a spiritual death, meaning you're going to forever be separated from the grace, from the mercy, from the love of God, only experiencing the wrath of God throughout all eternity. So if you're just born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, born physically, but then also born again, born of God, you're only going to die once. But check this out. If you're living when the rapture happens, you won't even die once. So born once, you're going to die twice. Born twice, die once. And maybe not even die once. So it's the born again question. The born again question. You know, you got to make sure, talking about being an overcomer, you got to first make sure that you've gone from darkness into God's marvelous light. You got to make sure that you're no longer spiritually dead, but you're spiritually alive. You got to make sure that you've confessed, you've cried out to God and said, "Christ, God, I am a sinner in need of a savior." And the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be born again. It's the born again question. It's the born again question. You got to make sure that you've repented, turned from sin and turned to Christ. You got to make sure that you have a genuine salvific belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, everyone who believes, verse 1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. That thing is settled. Well, this is a very important verse, and I'm going to probably spend about as much time in verse 1 as I am in the rest of the verses. So don't panic. I'm going to be in verse 1 for a little while. Then the other one, we're going to fly on through somewhere. But verse 1 says, you got to believe that Jesus is the Christ. And if you believe that he is the Christ, you are born again. So this is a very important. The rest of the sermon won't do you any good if you don't get verse 1. So what type of belief is this? I'm glad you asked. Y'all on it this morning. This belief, is it just some type of mere intellectual assent? Some type of, intellectual knowledge that, hey, I believe in God. You know, when we go down to the community kitchen on Mondays, we go most Mondays at 10:30. So you're welcome to come if you're able to do that on Mondays. We're down there. The Griggs are usually there. And I typically try to make it there. And Consuela is there. And others of you have come from time to time. Usually when we engage people and talk to people and pray with people, about 90% of the people I talk to, even yesterday when we went out talking to people, about 90 or 95% of the people I talk to say, hey, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. Most people say that. But then as you begin to talk to people a little more deeply, you begin to wonder, say, wait a minute, now God knows people's hearts perfectly. I don't know it perfectly, but when they start talking about the way they know they believe in Jesus, you're like, wait, that's not quite really biblical, what you're saying. I'm just listening to it, but that doesn't really sound like everybody. All I'm saying is everybody to say they know Jesus, everybody to say they are born again or not born again. You got to know that you know that you know that you know. That's why I'm convinced many people in our churches are not overcomers, are struggling with all kind of stuff. One of the reasons is because many people in our local churches are not really born again, are not really born of God. Because the Bible says if you confess that Christ is the Messiah, that he is Lord, you're going to be an overcomer. Let me say that again. He said you're going to be an overcomer. So this belief is not just some mere intellectual assent. It's not even agreeing that, yes, Jesus is the Messiah. No. It's not like how Dr. John MacArthur explains it this way. He says this word believe in this verse, it's a pretty good definition. You might want to jot it down. He said it conveys the idea of continuing faith, making the point that the mark of genuine believers is that they continue in faith throughout their life. Let me say it again. This belief that 1 John verse 1 is talking about is a type of faith, a continuing faith, making the point that genuine believers are overcomers is they continue in faith throughout their life. In other words, you're not like, well, I think I belong to God today, but then tomorrow you don't. Are you in and you're out? Are you in and out? No. It's a continuing faith. It's like, hey, I know I belong to the Lord and our life shows it. It's a know-so religion, not a hope-so religion. It's a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's I know I belong to Jesus. I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. I know that. Why? Because I've given my life to Jesus Christ. He's paid my price. He's paid the ticket for me. So I know where I'm going when I leave here. And check this out. Since I know that, that impacts the way I live while I live here on planet Earth. Let me give you some Bible on that. Talking about this type of faith. He who has begun, Jesus and God, he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it. Jesus said it. He said, all that the Father has given me, I haven't lost one of them. That's what Jesus said. Jesus also said in John 10, he said, if you're in my hands, nobody can pluck you out. Nobody can snatch you out. And he said, oh, by the way, you're also in my Father's hands. It's what we call eternal security. That's a biblical doctrine. That's a Baptist doctrine that if you're in Christ, if you're born of God, if you're born again, forever. You don't get unborn. I said, if you're born again spiritually, if you're quickened anew from above, you don't get unborn. It's just like physically you got born. You didn't get unborn, right? You didn't go back up in your mother's womb, right? So if you're born again, if you're born of God, if you got this type of belief, it means you're born of God. So the first characteristic of an overcomer is they are born of God. They are born again. Does that make sense? They're saved. They're redeemed. We've been reconciled. We've been born of God. I said, we've been born of God. Next thing is right there in that verse as well. Not only as an overcomer, do I have this trait, this characteristic that I am born of God, I'm born again, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. But also, the text says, verse 1 says, you're going to love the Father. I said, you're going to love the Father. And not only that, you're going to not only love God the Father, but you're also going to, it's right there in that verse, you're also going to love the one who has been born of him. So a trait, a characteristic of an overcomer is you're born of God, you're saved, you're born again, but also you love God and you love the brethren. You love your brothers and sisters in Christ. You love others. You're born of God, you love God, and you also love others. It's right there in that text. So if you are born again, or since you are born again, you will love God. Let me say that one more time. If you're born again, if you're saved, you will love God. He's your Father. You have a real relationship with him, a personal relationship. And unfortunately, one of the things that even society and culture has done that's really hurt the Christian faith is the breakdown of the home. I believe that's one of the reasons the devil comes so hard at the home, especially at the father, tries to get the father out of the home and had the father all messed up. So therefore, even when some people just hear God the Father, some people just, because they had such a bad experience with their own father, maybe they didn't even know their own father. So therefore, that kind of hurts them initially in their relationship with God the Father. But if you're born again, you got a father, a good father. Maybe your earthly father messed up. I love my dad to death, but he made some mistakes. But I got a perfect heavenly father. He never makes a mistake. I say he never makes a mistake. He's perfect in all that he does. He's perfect in all his ways. Matter of fact, he got all power. Matter of fact, he got all knowledge. Matter of fact, he's everywhere all at the same time. So you can see about yourself and myself all at the same time. So overcomer, you're going to love God the Father. But also, verse 1 tells us of 1 John 5, you're going to love all those who've been born of him. So not only are you going to love God the Father, you're going to love all his other children. Say it again, you're going to love all his other children. So the text says, that's an evidence. That's a trait. I'm going to sound a little redundant this morning. I'm going to keep mentioning this. Keep kind of getting it in our heart and mind. But as an overcomer, you're born of God. You're born again. As an overcomer, you love God and you love the brethren. You love the brethren. Now, in verse 2 and 3, listen to this. By this, we know. K-N-O-W. We know. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to say maybe. You can know. We know that we love the children of God. How do we know? Well, when we love God and when we obey his commandments. For this is the love of God. What really is the love of God? What's one of the ways you and I can show that we really love God? I can say all day, I love God. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. I can say that all day long. But how do people really know? How do you know? How do I even really know that I really love the God? Love God. Here it is right there in verse 3. This is the love of God, right? That we keep his commandments. That we keep his commandments. God said not so much lip service, but lifestyle service. You can say all day, I love the Lord, but then really don't really love him. The text says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So tell those people, they crazy when they talking about, well, you know, it don't really matter what you do, you know, your lifestyle, you know, you saved, or you going to heaven. No, the Bible says, if you love God, you're going to keep his commandments. Now we know, of course, this is not talking about sinless perfection, but God puts a hunger and thirst in his children to obey his word. He puts a hunger and thirst, a craving inside of us to read the word of God and to strive through the power of the Holy Spirit to obey the word of God. Let me say that one more time. God puts an insatiable desire in his children to spend time with him. Let me say it that way, to spend time with him. Can I get any witnesses? This is the Christian church this morning, isn't it? I said, God puts that desire in you, in me. Before I was a Christian, I didn't have a desire to read the Bible. Matter of fact, I grew up in the church. So when I found out, hey, my lifestyle is a little messed up, Brother Tyler, I didn't have no desire to get close to the Bible. Because it was going to be showing me some stuff I knew I was doing that was wrong. But once I got born again, once I was born of God, once I was quickened anew from above, I began to have a desire to read the word of God. God put that in he puts that in the child of God. He says that we should crave the word of God, just like a newborn babe craves milk. Nobody has to teach or train that little baby that you need to drink some milk. Oh, they come here crying. I'm hungry. Give me some milk. Give me something. Give me a biscuit or something. So when we get born again, you know, I mean, God put something in us that, hey, you know, sometimes we don't follow through on it, but he put something in us that, hey, I need to be reading the Bible. I need to be around some other Christians. So that's one of the traits. That's one of the characteristics of a Christian, is that not only you love God, but you love his commandments. You keep his commandments. I mean, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I think I heard this from Evangelist R.V. Brown. First time I heard this, B-I-B-L-E. Can stand for basic instructions, Sister Bray, before leaving earth. Basic instructions before leaving earth. The Bible. And listen, loving God's word is more than just reading it and studying it. Now that's a start. You got to at least open it up and start reading it, right? Now I ask this every now and then, so I'm going to keep asking this. If you do not have your own personal reading plan, you got to have a reading plan, saints. You know, when you're going to do anything, you got to have a plan. Like if you're going to try to live a little better financially, you're going to get a budget, right? Or if you're going to try to take a trip somewhere, you're going to pull it up and get the logistics and try to see how I can plan how I'm going to get there, you know, how many hours and all that. You got to have a plan, right? So if you want to move and grow, if you want to be more of an overcomer, if you want to grow in Christ and grow in grace, you got to have a reading plan. You got to have a systematic way of reading the word of God and spending time with him. So if you don't have one, we're moving on toward the end of Romans, about to go into 1 Corinthians. It's in your bulletin every week. I want to encourage you, if you do not have your own personal reading plan, if you do, that's fine, that's cool. But if you don't, just start reading through the New Testament. Jump in where you fit in. We in Romans. Then we go into 1 Corinthians. Then we're moving on. And prayerfully, if the Lord's will, next year we'll do the Old Testament the same way. I think maybe we might take 2 years to get through the Old Testament. Just kind of, you know, read a chapter or so a day. It doesn't take a whole lot, saints. Read a chapter or so a day. Matter of fact, in this New Testament reading, sometimes the schedule is not even a whole chapter. Sometimes it's half a chapter. Now, if you can't get the Lord half a chapter, if you can't get the Lord just a few minutes every day, you might not be an overcomer. You might not be an overcomer. An overcomer is born of God. An overcomer loves the word of God. Let me say it again. An overcomer loves the word of God. So start on August the 4th, 2019, with a consistent reading plan. Can I get an amen? Talking about traits or characteristics of an overcomer. You're born of God. The overcomer is a person who loves God. And also he loves the brethren. But also he loves the word of God. He loves and obeys the word of God. Listen. Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said. And see, to keep them, you got to first know them, right? I mean, some of this stuff is just basic. It's low hanging fruit. It's not deep stuff. It's not deep. Turn to somebody and say, this is not deep preaching and teaching, right? It's just basic teaching and preaching. It's not no deep preaching. To keep his commandments, you got to know his commandments. Am I right about Deacon Silver? To keep his commandments, you got to know his commandments. So Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Listen to what the book of James said, one of Deacon Lowe's favorite books. The book of James says this, don't just be a hearer of the word of God, but be a doer of the word of God. And he goes on and said, basically, don't deceive yourself. Because see, if you're just hearing the word of God and not really a doer, James said, you're deceiving yourself. Listen to what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, I've hidden God's word in my heart. I've hidden God's word in my heart. Why is that, psalmist? Why did you do that? I've hidden God's word in my heart. Why? So that I may not sin against him. Now listen, saints, if you're not hiding God's word in your heart, if you're not meditating in the word of God and memorizing the word of God and mulling over the word of God, your life is going to drift towards sin all the time. But the more you put the word of God in your heart, the more you saturate your heart and mind with the word of God, it's going to help keep you from sin. It's been said that that sin will keep you from this book. Remember, I mentioned that earlier. I confessed that earlier. I said, hey, before I was saved, Deacon Gray, I stayed away from this book. But watch this. The more you in this book, it'll help keep you away from sin. I'm going to say that one more time. Sin will keep you from this book. But the more you in this book, it'll help keep you from sin. So that's what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, I've figured that out. I'm hiding God's word in my heart so that he might help keep me from sin. Deter some of that stuff that normally would trip me up. But just because I spent some time with Jesus, just because I was in the word of God this morning, just because I started my day with prayer, some stuff I might would have gotten into, I didn't get into because God directed me around that stuff. Oh, y'all not hear me? That's practical Christianity. That's how you become an overcomer. You have to spend time in the word of God. And listen to what verse 3 said. Verse 3 goes on and said, this is the love of God that will keep his commandment, and his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus said, his commandments are not burdensome like man's commandments. You know, like in the Old Testament, and moving on even in the New Testament when Jesus came on planet Earth. Man, the Sadducees and Pharisees, them boys had taken God's commandments, and he had the Ten Commandments, and there are some other commandments in the scriptures too. There's a pretty large number of other commandments in the scriptures, but they took those, and then they even added on to those, and they had so many laws, so many commandments, so much yoke, that man, everybody was just burned down. I mean, just burned down. And Jesus said, hey, my commandments are not burdensome. So if you burden down, something's wrong. He said, my commandments, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So an overcomer, again, is one who is born again. Talking about traits or characteristics of an overcomer. An overcomer is one who is born of God, who is born again. An overcomer is one who loves God. An overcomer who is one who loves the people of God and loves people in general. And an overcomer, talking about some traits, some characteristics, Consuela, traits are of an overcomer is a person who loves, who obeys the word of God. See, these are really woven together. You can't separate them. They really all woven together. If you are born of God and love God, you're going to love his word. And if you love his word, you're just going to buy product. You're going to love people. Y'all with me this morning? That's right in your Bible. Those are woven together. And oh, that sounds kind of familiar, right? That sounds kind of familiar. Let's see. I love God. I love His Word. And I love people. That's Bible, right? I think we see that every now and then around here, right? Matter of fact, we see it every week on the bulletin. That's our vision statement. Loving God, loving His Word, and loving people. That's a good vision statement. We love God. We don't have just one song, Brother Vito. We got two songs about it. We love God, we love His Word, and we love people. That's a good vision statement. I said, that's a good vision statement. It's right out of the Bible. It's biblical. We love God. We love His Word, and we love people. That's a good vision statement. I mean, you know, and when I first came as your pastor and I saw that, I said, man, you know, I said, that's good. I ain't trying to change that or nothing. That's good. That's a good vision statement. Matter of fact, that should be the mandate of every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, I love the Lord. I love God. I love Jesus. I love His Word, and I love people. That's a good mandate. That's a good charge for every Christian church. To love God, to love His Word, and to love people. That's right there. That's right there in your Bible. That's our vision statement. That's our mission statement. See, for the follower of Christ, though, Jesus' commands, once again, should not be burdensome. If, as an overcomer, if God's commands have become a burden to you, maybe your love for God is not as great or as strong as you thought it was. Let me say that again. If God's commandments are like a burden to you, since He just said, my laws, my commands are not burdensome, right? Is that in your Bible? So if His commands are a burden to you, just maybe your love for God is not quite as strong as you thought it was. Perhaps you have allowed that pet sin, or maybe some source of idolatry, to ease into your life, ease into your heart, and take the throne of God. Take move Him off the throne and move something else on the throne. Maybe, you know, it probably happened slowly. Maybe you drifted slowly. It probably happened slowly. But maybe you've left your, if His commandments are burdensome to you, maybe you've left your first love. Maybe you're lukewarm. Well, if that's your dilemma this morning, you're in the right place. If that's your dilemma this morning, verse 4 and 5 gives you and gives me an important word this morning. Listen to verse 4 and verse 5 this morning of the text. It says, for everyone who has been born of God does what? Overcomes the world. And shall I say also overcomes the flesh and overcomes the devil. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is the victory? Our faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There it is, our faith. Verse 5, once again, going to reiterate everything that's been said so far this morning. Who is it that overcomes the world, or the flesh, or the devil, except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So really, that text is also saying, verse 4, 5 is saying, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, if He's not your Lord and Savior, if you don't believe it, you are already lost. You are already defeated. You're definitely not an overcomer. But if you do believe that He is the Christ, He is the Son of God, you are an overcomer, the text says. So not only as an overcomer, you got to make sure you're born of God. Not only as an overcomer, you want to make sure that you love God and you love people and you love the Word of God. Not only that, as an overcomer, from verse 4, you got to exercise your faith in Jesus Christ. You got to exercise your faith in Jesus Christ. Put it into actions, in other words. Exercise your faith in Jesus Christ. Have faith and trust in the fact that, watch this, that the victory is in Jesus. I'm going to say that again. The victory is in Jesus. Talking about being an overcomer, the victory is in Jesus. Talking about being an overcomer, still overcoming some stuff. The victory is in Jesus. Too often we try to obtain the victory in our own strength. We try to obtain the victory on our own. You know, you get saved, get born again. So, all right, Lord, I got it from here. I can handle it from the rest of the way on. No, you can't. No, you can't. You need the Lord every day. Just like you need the Lord for salvation. You need Him for deliverance. You need Him for growth. You need Him for encouragement. You need Him for correction. You need the Lord every day. I need the Lord every day. I need the Lord every moment of every day. Lord, keep me near the cross. So the victory is in Christ. See, don't be trying to do it by yourself in your own strength. That's some stuff we do, but our strength comes from him. Our help comes from the Lord. Our help comes from him. Sister Michelle, our help comes from him. So look, check this out. If you played team sports, I mean, I like football, especially college football, you know, football, the pros, they come into the camps and stuff, and college football starting up, high school, one of my little neighbors, he plays for East Hamilton. I was talking to him just the other day, and he said, yeah, we got a scrimmage Friday night. And so football is here, so I'm happy. Football is a team sport, right? Be basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever. And soccer is kind of popular these days. But it's a team sport. So the three of us have even played these team sports. So I know Brother Brady at UTC. So if your team win, it's a team sport now, right? You can't go up there telling another thing, I beat you, man. It was me. I beat you. Nah, number one, you lying. It wasn't just you. It was the rest of them other jokers with you too. It was the whole team. It's a team sport. I said it's a team sport. You're not fighting it by yourself. You're not winning it. Then, you know, if you're playing tennis or something like that, you know, that's a little different, but it's a team sport. Right, Coach Burris? It's a team sport, right? It's a team sport. Well, this Christian walk, this Christian race is a team sport. I said it's a team sport. We're on Team Jesus. I said, we're on Team Jesus. We're on God's side. We're on the winning team. We're on the right side. It's a team sport. The Lord is on our side. So every victory that you and I have, we can't be saying, well, yeah, I did that. No, we're going to say the Lord through Jesus, God through Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit, through the word, we defeated so-and-so, so-and-so. It's a team sport. We're on the Lord's team. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I say, I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I don't like to lose. When I played football my first 2 years in high school, we had a good team. We won, went to the state playoff. My senior year, we won 2 games the whole year. I was glad when that year was over. I don't like to lose. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad I'm on the winning team. Team Jesus. Guess what? How you know you're winning, Pastor? Well, he's already won the race. He's already won it. He won it back 2,000 years on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. He's already won it. We're on the winning side. We have the Lord with us. It's a team sport. We have God with us. And check this out. We have the people of God with us. We're on the winning team. We're on a good team. We're on the right team. We're on the winning team. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. We're on the right team. Any cheerleaders in the house? We're on the right team. Victory. Victory in Jesus. So don't be trying to fight the battle in your own strength. As an overcomer, that's one of the traits of an overcomer. Out of verse 4, our faith in Jesus Christ. We put our faith and trust in him. We put our faith and trust in him. And watch this. As a follower of Christ, as an overcomer, check this out. You died with him. Not only that, you were buried with him. Not only that, you rose with him. Not only that, it doesn't stop there. You ascended with him. The Bible in several places tell us that we are positionally and spiritually seated with him, even right now in the heavenly places. As an overcomer, we're really in two places at the same time. Oh, y'all not hearing me. We're really in two places at the same time. Yeah, we're at 1811 Roanoke Avenue, Love Fellowship, yeah. But also as an overcomer, Colossians 1 and several other places tell us we are seated in the heavenly places with the Lord, even right now. So if you died with him, if you was buried with him, you rose with him and ascended with him, that sounds like you're an overcomer to me. That sounds like V-I-C-T-O-R-Y to me. Victory. So an overcomer, traits of an overcomer, we're born of God. We're born again. Sister Cousin, we've been redeemed. We've been born again. Not only that, traits of an overcomer, we love God. Not only that, traits of an overcomer, we love others. Also, traits of an overcomer, Sister Johnson, we love and obey God's word. Also, Brother Chris, traits of an overcomer, we exercise our faith in Christ. This is how, I just read it, this is the victory. This is how we overcome. This is the victory. This is how we overcome the world. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you can't just have faith in faith. You got to make sure you know who the object of your faith is. Your faith in, you can have a little bit of faith in a big old Savior, a big old God, and guess what? You'll be all right. You can have a big faith in the wrong stuff and still be messed up. Let me say that again. You can have a little, Jesus said it better than I. You can have a mustard seed faith. That's the smallest known seed to man, a mustard seed. Jesus, if you have faith like a mustard seed in me, you can say, mountain, look out, mountain, be removed, and that mountain will move because your faith is in Christ. Your faith is in God. That's how we get the victory. That's how we are overcomers. So as an overcomer, you got to know what the text is saying and what I just said is true. As an overcomer, you got to know that. You got to know that as an overcomer, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And look at this. These are not just some little cliches. This is the word of God. Matter of fact, we said earlier, we love God and we obey his word, right? We love God and we love his word and obey his word. You got to know as an overcomer, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You got to know as an overcomer, greater is he who is within you than he that is within the world. As an overcomer, you got to know that he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it. As an overcomer, you got to know no weapon formed against me shall prosper. As an overcomer, you got to know that. As an overcomer, you got to know that. Look, Romans tells us this. This is all in the Bible. He tells us that one day you need to know that God will soon crush Satan under your feet. Oh, that's good news to know. So whenever the devil try to mess with you about your past or your present, say, hey, your future, soon God going to crush you under my feet. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. So as an overcomer, especially after what we saw yesterday with El Paso, Texas, and even to find out this morning, of course, about Dayton, Ohio, as an overcomer, you and I need to know and realize that even Romans 8:28 still applies. For we know, we don't always understand it, but as an overcomer, we know that God causes all things to work together for the good for those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. You got to know that as an overcomer. You got to know that and believe that and walk that out. As an overcomer, you gotta know that God will never leave you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. You gotta know that as an overcomer. I hear Paul. So one time he was in jail. He said, all have forsaken me. He said, none stood with me. He said, but wait a minute. The Lord stood with me. As an overcomer, you gotta know, even if everybody leaves you, friends, family, and everybody forsake you, God said, I will always be with you. Y'all know about the poem, Footprints. When things got tough in a young man's life, when things were easy, he saw four sets of footprints, right? But when things got rough, he only saw two sets of footprints. He said, no, one set of footprints. He said, what happened? Lord, what happened? When it got rough, I only saw that one set of footprints. God said, well, that's because I was carrying you. I had you on my back through those tough times in life. So you got to know as an overcomer that God is with you. You got to know as an overcomer, it doesn't matter who's against you, as long as God is on your side. So you got to know as an overcomer, you got to know this as an overcomer. Listen, the psalmist said, I was young, but now I'm old. I've surveyed a lot of stuff, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. That sounds like overcomer stuff to me. See, oh, as an overcomer, you got to know this, saints. No temptation. Somebody said no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. And God is, I have a witness right there. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape that you might be able to endure it, that you might be able to bear it. Watch this, that you might be able to overcome it. He always gives a way out. I say he always gives a way out. You may not take it, but he always gives a way out. As an overcomer, you got to know that, saints. As an overcomer, listen, as an overcomer, you gotta believe what Romans 8 says. You gotta be convinced. As an overcomer, you gotta know, you gotta be convinced and persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, as an overcomer, you got to be convinced, you got to be persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, my Lord. How can you know that? Well, I've been born of God. I love God. I keep his word. I love the Lord. As an overcomer, I'm about to take my seat, but as an overcomer, you got to submit to God. And resist the devil. Check this out. And he will flee. So if he ain't fleeing, that means something is wrong somewhere. That means you ain't submitting to God. You ain't bowing down before God. Said, God, you got to help me with this. You got to help me with this thing right here. This devil right here trips me up every time. But I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to resist this situation. I'm going to resist him or resist her or resist this devil or whatever. And eventually, he's going to flee. Now, he might come back again. And he will come back again. But just submit to God again. You can get in a good loop. Just keep submitting. Keep submitting. Keep submitting. Keep resisting. He'll keep fleeing. He might come back, but keep submitting. Keep submitting. Keep resisting. He'll keep fleeing. How can you say that, Pastor? Well, the word of God says it. I said, the word of God says it. The word of God. We stand on the word of God. I stand on the promises of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As an overcomer, you got to know. And you got to share the fact that you can call out unto the Lord. I cried out unto the Lord and he answered me. He heard my cry and delivered me out of all my fears, delivered me out of all my dangers. You got to know as an overcomer, you can call out to the Lord. And guess what? His line is open 24/7. I said, his line is open 24/7, round the clock. You don't get called waiting. You don't get put on hold. He has a listening ear for his children. As an overcomer, you got to remember and you got to embrace the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not only know it, but you got to share it. As an overcomer, you gotta relish in the fact that we have some good news. I said, we have some good news. We have some good news. All of us were under the wrath of God. All of us were separated from God. All of us were spiritually dead. All of us were on our way to hell. All of us have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. All of us were in a terrible fix. All of us were in a messed up situation. But you got to know. But you got to know. We have a God who loves us so much that God demonstrated his own love toward us, toward me and you, that he sent his only begotten son. That he died on Calvary's cross. I said, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's good news. We were all condemned, but because we gave our life to Christ, because we were born of God, got born again, now we are made right with God. You got to know that God sent his son down through 40 and two generations. Born of a Virgin Mary. I'm just preaching the Bible. This is the gospel. Live a perfect sin-free life. While he was here, he cleansed the lepers. Check this out. He also gave eyesight to the blind. Not only that, he allowed the lame to walk and the mute to talk. He cast out demons while he was here on planet Earth. He even rose people from the dead. But then he went to Calvary's cross for your sins and for my sins. He went up on Golgotha's hill. He died on Calvary's cross. The Bible says he died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the earth did quake. He died on Calvary's cross. See, as an overcomer, you got to know that he died for your sins. He died on Calvary's cross. Didn't he die? He died on Calvary's cross. We sing the song. They stretched him wide. He hung his head and then he died. But oh, beloved, as an overcomer, you got to know that's not how the story ends. I said, that's not how the story ends. 3 days later, they went to check the tomb. 3 days later, he was born. He rose again with all power in his hands. And as an overcomer, you got to know that he walked the earth 40 more days. A little 9-year-old boy told us this yesterday, the gospel. I praise the Lord for Pastor Ware and New Shoulder. He said, I go to New Shoulder. He told us all. We asked him, Tanya asked him, what do you know about Jesus? He said, well, he was perfect. He didn't sin. He went to the cross. This was a 9 or 10-year-old boy told us this yesterday. We went to the cross and he died. They buried him. He rose again. Then he walked 40 more days on the earth and then he went on into heaven. That's what he said. We said, man, where you go to church? He said, I go to New Shoulder, my buddy Pastor Ware. But that's the gospel, saints. So as an overcomer, if a 9 or 10-year-old knows that, surely you and I need to know that and tell somebody he walked the earth 40 more days, went on up into heaven. Even right now, listen here, this is it, I'm through. As an overcomer, you ought to know that you can make it. As an overcomer, you ought to know you can overcome whatever is plaguing you. You ought to know you can make it because why? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Oh, y'all not hearing me? Praying for you. Praying for me. Even right now. So yes, we can be superheroes. Yes, we can overcome. Yes, we can overcome whatever is plaguing us because we've been born of God. Because we love God. We love others. We love the Word of God. Because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And because Christ is still praying for us even right now. Mama can pray for you, daddy can pray for you, brother can pray for you, your pastor or the preachers can pray for you, deacons can pray for you, and that's good, that's good. But nobody can pray for you like Jesus.
Jesus always gets their prayer through. Jesus always gets their prayer through. An overcomer. Traits of an overcomer. When we profess the name of Christ, when we say we are following Jesus, we are overcomers. That's what your Bible says. 1 John said you are an overcomer. And yes, again, we're still overcoming some stuff. I'm not saying we're, you know, perfect sinlessly, don't have any sin. No, no, we are overcomers. Let me say that again. We are overcomers who are overcoming some stuff. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you today that out of your word, 1 John 5 says if we are born of God, if we are born again, if we're saved, we are overcomers.